Coming up on today's show.
If all I do, Bruce, when they graduate, when they leave my presence, if all I did was show them how to hit a ball, catch one and throw one, I didn't do a good job.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. I'm going to almost say stop what you're doing right now and be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. That tells you about the newest guest interview, plus I always provide an insight in there under the Did You Know banner. Look at the top of the website and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, or X, as it's now called, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Why do we continue to hear so many stories about payback in sports? I'm talking about players who will get the jersey number of someone who has wronged them so that they can plot their revenge. Not only is this not good sportsmanship, but it takes the focus off the real task at hand. Attention gets divided rather than staying committed to the game plan and the goal of winning through the strategy that the coach drew up. My gosh, the first couple days of this new Major League Baseball season, there were already dugouts emptying. And then basketball, my gosh, when and why did it become a sport with players going after one another as if it was a hockey game? And then that sport, wow, get ready, the NHL playoffs are just around the corner, and then we'll really see the level of physicality go up. I guess the turn-the-other-cheek approach has all but been forgotten by too many athletes nowadays. I'm thinking today of the New Testament and Romans 12, where in verse 17 it says, quote, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be concerned for what is noble in the sight of all." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has had a long career in baseball, including being the all-time leader in wins as coach of the Carnegie Mellon University baseball team, which he guided to consecutive conference championships in 2015 and 2016. As a professional scout, he has assisted in professional player signings all over the world, and in 2002 was named general manager of the Global Scouting Bureau. He is also a professional hitting instructor, conducting his own hitting camps in several states and serving as a hired instructor at many baseball camps. He was voted into the Steel City Sports Hall of Fame in 2014 and is the author of a book called Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Claudio Relsano.
Bruce, thank you so much for having me on the show. I've been looking forward to doing this, and I'm honored to be on. Thank you.
My pleasure, Claudio. Thank you. Thank you. One more honor that I could have mentioned in that intro is that in 2016, you were named Italian Coach of the Year by the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame Pittsburgh chapter. Were you born and raised in the Pittsburgh area or in Italy? And for that matter, what was the family size when you were growing up?
Well, my family was all born in Italy. I'm a first generation born here in America in Swickley, Pennsylvania, 13 miles outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay. And how many children were there?
Well, my dad's first wife and him, she passed away at age 32. He had two kids to her, and I'm the only one to my mom.
Okay. So being Italian, plus the fact that at one point you were an assistant coach at Quigley Catholic High School, I will be surprised if you tell me that you are not a cradle Catholic. Tell us about the presence of the faith in your household when you were growing up, including any Catholic education that maybe you received.
Well, it was more my mom. I mean, my dad obviously had faith and a believer in a Catholic, but my mom is the one who taught me things, taught me about God, about prayers, Italian prayers, and the importance of having it in your life and faith. And then, to be honest with you, the first thing that I remember was in 1969 when my dad was told he was going to go blind. I was about 4.5 years old. And he was told he had emphysema. He worked in the mill, and that he was going to go blind. And I didn't know what emphysema was, but I knew what going blind was. So I remember going by our church, and I didn't realize I did it so audibly, so loud, but I used to pray, please don't let my daddy go blind. Please don't let my daddy go blind. And it was just something that was ingrained in me, constantly saying it. And I was so worried about my dad. And well, and my dad never went blind, never had emphysema. 3 or 4 doctors told him that he had glaucoma and he was going to go blind. And that's it. There was no reversing, no operations at the time, nothing. And he would tell you it was little Claude's prayers that got me through. And I believe that. And it's something that has stuck with me all these years.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You actually have been hosting a boxing show on TV for over 8 years. But I wonder, when did you get into sports? What sports did you play when you were young? Who got you started into playing sports? Share with us about all of your sports participation.
Well, again, my parents, my dad, Olindo, and my mom, Ida, were born in Italy. My dad was a boxing fan. My mom was a soccer and boxing fan. Hmm. So I was just raised with the names Marciano, Giorgio Canalia, boxers and soccer players. But my uncle used to work at Three River Stadium where the Pirates and Steelers used to play. I really didn't play any sports until then. I didn't know I had any talents in anything or anything. But I do remember talking to my dad about, you know, Rocky Marciano, and you know, he was undefeated, and of course, all the Italians were very proud of Rocky. So that was kind of my introduction to sports. And then I played baseball. My first year playing was 1974, and I had a nice career as a player, and then, you know, got into coaching. And the goal was to be in professional baseball, which we'll get to later as well. But I played all the sports, you know, I played basketball, baseball, football, and just had a wonderful time playing sports with my friends and playing organized sports. And my parents allowed me to have fun. They weren't the type of parents that put pressure on me. And I live in the same house I grew up in. I have a big, tall wall in my backyard that I used to throw the ball up against it every single day. throw the ball, catch it. Then in the wintertime, I'd go in my room, I'd get an old lighter from a car, tape it up, and I would hit it, right? And there's still nicks in the ceiling, which is now my daughter's room. But my dad had a landscape business. I learned how to switch hitting apples and rocks. So I was constantly, you know, hitting and swinging and throwing. And my mom used to say, if there was a baseball in the air, you could be sure Claudio was underneath it. And just loved playing it and collecting cards and all that stuff and watching the events on TV. And boy, it was just a magical time for me, Bruce, playing.
Yeah, I can tell. What great memories that you have of all of that. One of the lessons I hope that Catholic Sports Radio teaches is to not over-glamorize sports. It's similar to how I often say that we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. And Claudio, as exciting as it is, meaning all the success with Carnegie Mellon University, the conference championships, being their all-time winningest coach, even being voted into their Baseball Hall of Fame. Can you talk about all the years you spent in roles such as assistant at Community College of Beaver County, Quigley Catholic High School, and Duquesne University, as well as the head coach at Community College of Beaver County? And I'm even leaving some out, but the lessons learned, the humility that surrounds all those jobs where you're not at a Division I school on ESPN, but you're building your resume, you're gaining important experience, and you're working with student athletes who are very much counting on you?
You know, I was climbing the ladder pretty quick. I was an assistant coach at age 18. And climbing the ladder, as I said, I didn't think it was quick. Everybody else said it was. I was head coach at high school at age 23. And I had a very, very special team to be my first team as a head coach. And through the years, you know, I was fortunate enough to win a championship as a head coach in 1990, October 8th, which was my dad's birthday and two-year anniversary of my mom passing. But to answer your question, when I was at Quigley Catholic High School, I had gone actually to Division I as an assistant at Duquesne University. And things didn't go real well there. I had, you know, good players to coach, but the head coach and I just didn't mesh well. But from there, I disappeared for 2 years. Then I got a job at Quigley Catholic High School for a whopping $800 a year. But I enjoyed those 2 years. And we were playing in a tournament one time. And I remember my dad told me, he said, "I'm very proud of you." He said, "You treated this Quigley Catholic baseball team as if it were the Yankees. You bloomed where you were planted." You know, I didn't look at it and say, "Okay, well, it's not on ESPN. It's not Division I. It's not getting all the attention." But those players deserved my attention, my passion, and I gave it to them. But, you know, you learn to get knocked down and dust yourself off and to keep the faith that this dream was presented to you. And I knew that this dream was not presented to me to hurt me, to fail, to just to not make it. And I went through a tough time at some of the schools that I was working at. And that's life, because I'll put it to you this way, Bruce, a friend of mine is a former boxing champion, Hall of Famer, Vinny Pazienza. And after his second world title, Vinny got into a bad car accident where he was maybe going to be paralyzed, for sure never fight again, for sure. But he came back and he won three more world titles. They made a movie of his life, Bleed for This, a few years ago. But he said, "No car accident, no movie." So for me, no failures, no tons of rejection, no people that I worked for and with being negatives in my life. If those things didn't happen, no book, no motivational speaking engagements, maybe nothing to tell you. I mean, how much impact would I have on your listeners or on any listeners if I said everything was always smooth, everybody treated me great, everything's wonderful? No, I've had a lot of negatives, banana peels, I'll call them, that I had to avoid. I learned a lot. I learned that through faith, that'll help you get through, because I believe that this dream was presented to me, and it wasn't presented to me again to see me fail. So I'm glad, looking back, glad might not be the right word, but I'm glad I handled it the way I did. It was not easy to get from point A to point B, for sure. People see the baby, they don't see the labor pains, but there was a lot of labor pains.
Wow. Oh my gosh, what great lessons, great lessons. Let's start digging into some of your testimony. August 19th of 1973, what took place that day that is an important part of your story?
I was just your regular average 8-year-old kid who enjoyed and worried about Batman and was he going to get out of his latest crisis, right? And my uncle, as I said, worked at Three River Stadium, and he was going to take me to where he worked. It was called the Allegheny Club, which was a restaurant inside the stadium. Well, as I approached that big, beautiful building, which I have pictures all over my office of that stadium, I said, "Wow, you know, something hit me, Bruce." Then he brings me inside, and there was a scent, which I can still smell to this day. Opened the elevator to the third floor, and it was a beautiful picture of Roberto Clemente. I knew who he was. Then I walked and gazed through the hallway, a beautiful wooden wall, and all these pictures of all these athletes who I didn't know who they were. And then he takes me down the locker rooms, and these big guys wearing these bright white uniforms that said Pirates written across the chest. And I just, what's going on with me here? I just loved who I was. I didn't say a word. I snuck out onto the field. It was around 10:28 in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. The only people that were on that field were the grounds crew and me, and 58,000 empty seats. And this was before the game even started. I knew I loved the atmosphere. I knew I loved how I felt. And so I watched the game. I came home, and my dad said, "Did you have a good time?" I said, "I did." And I said, "But I know what I want to do with the rest of my life." I was 8 years old. And he said, "What? What are you talking?" I said, "Dad and my mom, I said, I want to be in professional baseball." That's all I said. I didn't know if I had any talent in it or not, nor did my parents. But my, and I get choked up talking about it to this day. That was 51 years ago. But he said, "If that's what you want to do, me and your mother will do everything we can to give you every opportunity in the world to make your dreams come true." And he gave me a hug and a kiss. And my mom said, "Whatever you need from us, as long as you're a good boy, you know, all that stuff," being a mom, she said, "we'll be there for you." And Bruce, I'm telling you, that day, I always say the good Lord presented me, said, "Here, Claudio, this is your gift. You know, this is it. This is going to be your day." Whatever way you want to word it, that gift was given to me that day. And, you know, there's another, you mentioned the Italian coach of the year. The first thing I said after I thanked God for the blessings that I had received, I said, "If you ever see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there alone." And without the good Lord's presence and my parents, guarantee you, all those accolades or jobs or whatever opportunities I've had would not have occurred if it was not for my mom and dad. And but that day, that was it. That was the starting point, and I was tunnel vision focused. And every single night, I prayed that that dream would come true. And there was a lot of negative people in my life, a lot of obstacles, most of the people I cared for that were negative with me. But my parents fought tooth and nail. They stuck up for me. They told me, "Hey, there's no time limit. Whatever it is, you go after this goal and dream." And there was times I wanted to quit. And,
sure.
And when my mom, who, again, I adored my mother, adored my mother, and still do. When she passed away, I remember giving her a kiss, and she didn't kiss me back for the first time. And I was just devastated that my mom had been gone, you know, 48 years old. And my dad, I'll never forget, Bruce, my dad was only about maybe 5'5", but he had these thick hands, and he reached over and he grabbed my hand. He said, "Claude," he said, "you're the only thing." He said, "I know what you're thinking." And that was, I wanted to quit baseball. I was just going to get a job and pack it in because I had no desire to do anything, zero. And I said, "I'm just done." And I was 23 and just came off my first head coaching season. It was a successful year. But my dad said, "I know what you're thinking, but you can't. You're the only thing left to keep your mom's name alive. And you promised her that you would never quit." Wow. And when he said that, Bruce, as funny as it may sound, you start hearing the Rocky theme. And I said, okay, Ma, I promise you, you didn't quit. She fought like crazy. And, you know, I didn't quit. And thank God things went the way they did. But August 19th.
Yeah, I was going to say August 19th of 73. My gosh, you described it so clearly that you would have thought that I just said, "Tell us about March 19th of 2024. It sounded, the description was so vivid. And audience, I want you to pick up on two things out of that story that Claudio told. Number one is we all hear our calling in different places. If you've ever seen the video that I posted on YouTube, it was the first video that I ever posted on the Catholic Sports Radio YouTube channel. I talk about the fact that I was on a riverboat in Brazil on the Amazon River when I felt the Lord's call to this type of ministry, the mix of faith and sports. And so if you picture Claudio being in that baseball stadium, that was his shrine at the time, right? The way that he really just loved the Pirates. He looked up to his uncle. And so that's where he heard his calling. And then the other part of the story is the tremendous love and support from his parents when he came home and said, "This is what I want to do with the rest of my life." And they said, "Whatever you need from us, were there. So really, really great lessons that Claudio has shared with us here in the first half of our conversation. And by the way, this was really cool. 8 days ago on Easter Sunday, Annie Agar sent out a tweet about the interview she had done with me. That was episode 262. And wow, Twitter, or X as it's now called, went crazy. Wow, there was so much response to that tweet from her. After all, she has well over 500,000 followers on Twitter alone. But I sent her a thanks, and now I want to thank and welcome all of you who might be new to the show just because of having listened to that interview with Annie. I do hope y'all will check out lots and lots of episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. I also want to thank the guest from 3 weeks ago on episode 268, Terry Tucker, who was kind enough to make a financial contribution to my ministry. That really, really just meant so much to me. I'm ever so grateful to him. I sent him an email to let him know as much, and he gave me permission to say his name on the air, as you're hearing me do right now. I need to do a better job at keeping track of all the expenses for Catholic Sports Radio because they just seem like they're pouring in so fast these days. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that I report exact dollar amounts so that you know what contributions like those from people like Terry Tucker help go towards. I do know that there was a renewal recently for a domain name that I own that I'm not going to say because I don't want to confuse anyone, but it was a strategy taught to me by Merchantside Marketing Group when they built CatholicSportsRadio.net. In terms of commonly mistaken names that people might type in to try to go to the show website, so that domain renewal was the latest expense. Anyhow, if you're new, maybe one of the people now listening because of the Annie Agar tweet on Easter, the reason I talk about all this is because I am a one-person operation running Catholic Sports Radio as best I can, meaning despite it not being my full nor my part-time job, all of which means I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses that go with operating this ministry on and off the air. You can help by way of the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, safe, easy, secure, and just so convenient. It will allow you to use a credit or debit card or even PayPal to send whatever amount you decide you're comfortable with. You just type in a number yourself and send it. That is how Terry Tucker sent the financial gift that he made to Catholic Sports Radio. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net or sending a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, just like I'm doing on this episode with Terry Tucker. Or as some have asked me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Claudio, before all that, you had told us the story from August of 1973. Let's fast forward 26 years and the Major League Baseball All-Star Game on July 19th of 1999, so 1 month shy of exactly 26 years. What testimony do you have that coincides with that date and that event?
Whenever I give a speech, matter of fact, I spoke at a wonderful school, Kennedy Catholic School here in just outside of Pittsburgh. And I title it, Things Can Happen in Life, okay? And I'll tell you a story about that in a second. But July of 1999, I was watching a Major League Baseball All-Star game, and I was by myself. My wife was with my dad somewhere, and I'm by myself. And it was out of Fenway Park, and they had the current All-Stars, which I enjoyed watching those guys, the McGuire, Sosa, Ripken, Randy Johnson, Mike Piazza. Then they had the celebration of the 50 greatest baseball players of all time. The Johnny Bench, Tom Seaver, Pete Rose, you know, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, just the who's who of baseball. And I just start getting really emotional. I said, wow, this is why I love this game. You know, guys I grew up watching. Then out of center field in the golf cart, they have Ted Williams. And, you know, it just the place erupts, right? So I got really emotional. I said, this is why I love the game, the present and the past and the guys that I grew up watching and wanting to be like and so on and so forth, the guys who motivated me, inspired me. And then all of a sudden, Bruce, I got sad and depressed because it was July of 99. It was my first year of Quigley Catholic High School. I was about as far away from being in the professional baseball as you could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was climbing the ladder, got to Division I college baseball, dropped out of sight for a couple of years. Then I got a job for $800 a year at Quigley Catholic High School, and I absolutely loved Quigley Catholic High School. I really did. I had a great time there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But I said, I'm about as far away as humanly possible. And I got really depressed. I said, is my dream ever going to come true, right? Well, fast forward to January of 2001, I get my job as a professional baseball scout with the Global Scouting Bureau. Now, in December of 2001, where were the winter meetings at? And this is where I always say things can happen in life. Where were the winter meetings at? One of them were at Boston Fenway Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at that field. Who did I sign to a pro contract in May of 2002? Ted Williams' son, who was at that event that day. He was in the golf cart. And who was shaking hands and taking pictures with Ted Williams and John Harry Williams that day in July of 1999? Hall of Famer Juan Marichal, who I signed Juan Marichal's nephew to a pro contract in 2003. If the good Lord would have said, hey, have faith, in a couple years, you're going to be at that ballpark. You're going to sign that guy on TV. You're going to sign that guy's nephew. Things can happen in life. And to go back to August 19th, okay, August 1973, I'm 8 years old, my first Pirate game ever. The starting pitcher, his name was Jim Rooker. Jim and I have become good friends. He was the first guest on my podcast. We play in celebrity golf events together, and Jim did some scouting for me. The first baseman's name was Al Oliver. Al and I are friends. Al and I were inducted into the Steel City Sports World Hall of Fame, same class.
Amazing.
And then the second baseman's name was Rennie Stennett. Rennie became a friend, and he invited me to the 79 reunion, which was a magical moment. The left fielder's name was Willie Stargell.
Yeah.
I won a Willie Stargell Lifetime Achievement Award, and the opposing pitcher that day was, again, Juan Marichal, and I signed his nephew to a pro contract. Now, if you'd have told me as an eight-year-old, these things are going to happen to you, I thought, you're crazy. But they did. And again, how did they happen? I would say very simply, through faith, through hard work, perseverance, or I condense it into the word top, T-O-P-P. I had to be tough. I had to overcome, I had to be persistent, and I had to pray. And that's how I got from point A to point B. But again, that little kid that day, and even the older kid in 99, you know, those things, they did happen. And I'm thankful for those moments every day of my life.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, it reminds me of Luke chapter 1, 36 or 37, for nothing shall be impossible for God. And so you're right to have told that little 8-year-old all those things that would happen. You'd probably, of course, an 8-year-old might say, okay, great, you know, but someone a little more mature might say, yeah, right, give me a break. Claudio, you've talked a lot about your dad. If you don't mind, can you talk about your father's illness and just the life lessons that you took away from witnessing all of that, and maybe even if you applied any of those lessons to coaching, I wonder?
I apply them to life. My dad, as I said, he was going to go play football at Geneva College out this way, and his mom passed at age 52. My dad quit high school to raise his two brothers, worked in the mill, owned a landscape business, got married. First wife passes at age 32. My sister, to this day, it's something that we really don't touch on, but to this day, I don't know what happened, but he comes home from the mill and my sister was on fire. And my dad saved her, but you know, she had some scars from it, but she went on to have a pretty good life. And then my dad got married to my mom, and then my dad got sick again, the blindness, the emphysema. He was never blind nor had emphysema, but it was such a hit to him that he developed a phobia where he couldn't leave past our hedges for a couple years. And somehow, you know, we had like 7 miles to be with my mom, my dad, my sister, her husband, her son, me and my brother. So 7 people, but we did well, we managed, right? And then my dad start working again. And what motivated him to start working again was me, was my dreams and my goals. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wasn't going to let that fall. I had to get back. And it was hard. I remember one time we were going to go up street, a 5 minute walk. And we got to the hedges and he couldn't, it was like a barrier and he couldn't go past. I'll never forget. I can look out my window and see where it was. He said, I'm sorry that you have the dad that you have. And I said, Dad, don't say that to me, right? And because he thought he was letting me down. But that was in 71. Then he started working latter part of 71. And my dad beat it. And he provided an unbelievable life for me. And obviously gave me the opportunity to do what I'm doing today. And then my mom, unfortunately, passed at age 48. And I remember asking my dad, how did you do it? How did you go through all of this trials and tribulations and, and turmoil? How did you? He very simply said, Claude, I had to because I had a family to raise. Mm. It was that simple. It was that simple. And I use that in life because when I'm down or when I don't do something well or if a business fails or whatever, I'm just, hey, my dad went through that. I can go through this, right? And I'll say this, you know, everybody has their faith. Everybody has how they believe and what they believe. But trust me when I tell you, and I hope I'm not, you know, being offensive or whatever the case is, but I know for an absolute fact that my parents hear what I'm saying, see what I'm doing, and they are there.
I mentioned this in the intro, but I did not give the full title. Your book is called Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. Here is something that I read about the book. It said, quote, this book is not about the X's and O's of baseball, nor is it about how to win a championship or how to save more money in your business. It is much deeper than your average coaching or leadership piece. It comes from the heart and takes you deep into the soul of coaching in sports or life, end quote. Claudio, I don't want to project the mission of my ministry onto you or your book, but that sounds to me like you wrote the book from a Christian foundation. Is that the case?
Well, everything I do is from the Christian Foundation. That's how I was raised. My mom used to always say, never speak from the neck up, speak from the heart up. Mm. And when I coach, basically the theme of the book is something that Super Bowl winning coach Dick Vermeil said, that your players, your team, your people, they won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And my players, they know that I care for them, not just as baseball players, but his people. And I give them my heart and soul, and I've been so fortunate to have them do it back. And if all I do, Bruce, when they graduate, when they leave my presence, if all I did was show them how to hit a ball, catch one and throw one, I didn't do a good job. I want them to know how I got from point A to point B, how I handled a particular situation, how I handled this or how I handled that. And they said, I remember when coach told, you know, he went through this. So that's what this is about. And it's honest stories that have happened to me. And, you know, Jim Valvano, I'm sure you've heard of Jim Valvano, the NC State legendary basketball coach who has the Jimmy V Cancer Fund. Jimmy was a friend of mine, very dear friend of mine. But he used to say that his favorite word in the English dictionary was the word impact. And, you know, like your show and your audience, I know for an absolute fact that this is why your show is so important and the content. You're having impact on people. And I want to have impact on people through my stories. That's why it's so important to me to, I'm trying to ramp up my speaking engagements and my appearances on TV, radio. And there's nothing special about me. As I said, I had to be tough. I had to overcome. I was persistent and I prayed and I got from point A to point B. But I want to tell people that you can do it too. You can have a good life. You can be happy. You can overcome the obstacles. You can overcome the negativity. You can make your goals and your dreams come true. And so it's just important for me to have impact on people, because it's hard to look at somebody like, you know, an unbelievable athlete or an unbelievable businessman who's got, you know, $3 billion in the bank and came up with a certain technology. But it's not hard to say, okay, well, I see what Claudio did. I can do that in my own field. It's important to me to do that.
I like that.
Why did I write the book? I want to help leaders, you know, in sports and anybody in leadership position, because if the leader's good, okay, then the team is going to be good, or the business employees, that means the business or the team is going to be good. So it trickles down.
That's right.
So that was important to me.
I like that. I like that. And audience, I will be putting a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Claudio's website, so you can find more information about him and about his book, including, of course, ordering it. Claudio, you mentioned them each through way of the story from your father, but let's close by having you share with us about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the family that the two of you have made.
I met my wife in April of 87. We've been married since October of 98. It took me a while, but we've been married since October of 98, and we have a beautiful daughter, Ida, again named after my mom, who is 23 in May and going to grad school at Duquesne University. My wife has been teaching at the Pittsburgh Catholic Diocese since 1991.
Wow.
And she teaches at St. James Catholic School, which is two blocks from my house, since 96. And my daughter went to school at St. James and got a wonderful, unbelievable education. And again, you know, saying these things to you, I'm human. And, you know, sometimes things might get to me. Maybe a business isn't going as quickly as I'd like it to go, or, you know, whatever. But then I'm talking to you about my parents, about my career, about my wife and daughter, my family. And boy, I'm just, again, my prayers pretty much, they're more than just thank you, but I'm just grateful and thankful for the life I have, for the family that I have, and my friends, and I've been blessed for sure.
Amen. Amen. It's a great way to close. Claudio, great to meet you. Thank you for your time and being on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Bruce, God bless you and your audience and you and your family, and I wish you continued success. As I said, this is a very, very important platform, and I only hope it grows.
Thank you. Thank you. That does mean a lot to me. And folks, as a nod to all of the many, many years that Claudio spent in coaching, let us close this week's episode with one of the prayers for coaches, and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Timothy, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry, in the future there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit, and that you use time to build me up to make me stronger. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.